You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Brian Hayes, Jennifer Hedger, the O-Dog Jeff O'Neill. Noodles enjoying a personal day down in Nashville, Tennessee.
There is no excuse why that man couldn't have been in here for this show. I think there's a 9 o'clock flight to Vegas, but I guess he just had some stuff to do.
Now, didn't he call the Ottawa game yesterday?
He did. Yeah. He was in Ottawa yesterday.
Yeah,
he did call that game.
And he could have been home last night, too. That game was an afternoon game. He could have been home by 10 o'clock last night.
Probably just trying to save the
company
money.
There's flights every hour on the hour from Ottawa to Toronto.
Yeah. Cost-saving measure.
He could have drove like we did. He could have been home by...
I don't know what to tell you, man.
But who's
he's in Nashville. We'd be doing the same thing.
Who's kidding who? We would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I don't blame him for going to Nashville. And
what is it? Tootsie's or Dolly's?
Tootsie's is the big spot.
Tootsie's.
Yeah, which I have a confession to make. I went down there. I was on a bachelor party in Nashville a few years ago, and I never went into Tootsie's. You just hit my earphones again.
Oh.
And now I can't hear anything.
Oh,
so
dog.
Give me a... Yeah, there you go. Nice. Perfect.
Did you do one of those...
I think Nashville's overrated,
those bikes where you're all biking along?
No.
That seems like that's what bachelors do.
No.
I hate... This is, like, stereotyping. Yeah. More of a bachelorette.
Oh, is it? Okay. No, that's not a... I think that would be truth, because I hear women who are going down talk about it's the best thing ever, and I think to myself... Nah, I think I would just rather go to a bar and drink.
Absolutely. Yeah. We were just in the honky-tonks all day, all night,
yeah.
And every time you came outside, there was another pack of women on these bikes, biking
things,
around.
Yeah.
And they were the happiest human beings on earth.
Did you ask five of my friends to get on a bike and do any kind of exercise hungover? No.
Fights.
Yeah.
Like, someone would look like Brian Ortega by the end of the fight. Because UFC 231... You got to see the blood in the octagon from Saturday night.
What happened after the headbutt and the...
Yeah, and then the submission, like, that was brutal. This guy's head exploded, and it looked like a fire hydrant had been cracked.
See,
like, it was disgusting.
I don't mind the MMA. Like, I don't mind any of it until it gets to that part. And then I'm like, I don't know if this... Now I feel weird watching this.
It's gruesome to watch. And, like, Ortega, I give the guy a lot of credit because he took a beating. He had a broken nose, broken thumb. The doctor eventually stepped in and just said, that's enough. Like, we can't possibly allow you to continue. And these guys, man, they have so much courage. Like, I will never disparage anybody that steps into the octagon. You break it down, you analyze it, and I don't pretend to be Mr.
Have you ever
fight
been to
guy.
A fight? Like, have you ever been?
I have. Yeah. I've been to multiple ones here in Toronto.
I feel if you're there, and I've been lucky enough to be real close, and man, the athleticism and the strength, and like you said, the courage and the skill and the technique, like, it is an impressive form of athleticism. But then once the blood starts spurting out of their
that's
eyeballs,
the thing, right?
Like, they kind of lose me.
It's a science, it's athletics, but it has the ability to become a full-blown
blood
street
sport.
Fight. Yeah, like it can be a blood sport.
It becomes like bear baiting, like back with the Romans. Like,
right.
There's a real gladiator feel to it by
yeah,
the end of
exactly.
it.
Yeah, exactly. You're basically at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
Like, it could break out at any point, and Ortega was on the wrong side of it on Saturday night. And so were the Leafs in Boston, and we spent an extensive period of time talking about it in the previous hour. You know, there's two separate conversations here, but the one about Boston and trying to avoid Boston in the playoffs, there's only so much you can do,
yeah.
Right? You just got to take care of your own business and get there, and I think you hope you end up in the top spot in the East. But Tampa, I don't see them slowing down, even without Vasilevsky. All they do is win games. So Thursday night's game with the Leafs in Tampa is massive in terms of them trying to pick up 2 points. But if you're not going to get the top spot, you got to get home ice. You know, even if you're playing Buffalo, Montreal, it doesn't matter who you're playing, you've got to secure home ice for a season where it was a foregone conclusion the Leafs were going to make it to the playoffs. Make sure the regular season hooked you up with something, right? Use the regular season as a benefit in some fashion. And let's be honest, it's home ice because, God forbid, the Bruins get healthy and go on a heater the way they did last year where the final 45 games of the season, they were the best team in the league. The Leafs have to play in Boston in the first round. The anxiety in this city is going to be through the roof. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. You think that's fair to say, Ray?
They certainly don't play very well there, do they?
It's crazy, that man.
Why, like Ray? Do you have any sense why a team would get a block like that and just not be able to go toe-to-toe with the Boston Bruins in their own barn?
See, I don't get it anymore. You know, like, back at when you used to go into the Boston Garden, the thing was as big as a closet, and they used to beat the crap out of you. And then they'd beat you, because they were good, too. But in the meantime, they'd beat the crap out of you. And teams were intimidated going in there. There's no reason for the Leafs to be intimidated. It's not, you know, it's not the big, bad Bruins anymore. It's not, I mean, the game's not played that way anymore. Yet, I don't know why it's like it's a trap door. They go in there and they come out like they're a different team. Like they were terrible. That wasn't even a, you know, sometimes the score doesn't paint the picture of the game. Like that was, when it was 6-1, I was like, yeah, maybe it could be 6-2, but man, they're not even close.
No, they're not.
Train wreck. I have no idea why it is. Like, two things I thought happened. One was, I thought they got a little bit off focus trying to be like, oh, we're going to show that we're tough enough to play these games. And I thought as the game got more physical, they started to kind of lose their way a bit, trying to be what they're not. That was number one. And number two is, I didn't think they were, like, from a more technical standpoint, I don't think in the middle of the ice, I don't think they worked near hard enough. It was like a free pass zone in there. The Bruins were flying through there, like, and as you mentioned, Brian, that's not even their team. They're missing a good chunk of the top end of their roster.
Ray, I was talking about it earlier, and it's not about like fighting people or elbowing people in the head, but it's kind of like, it's just about an attitude. Do you not think that they need some attitude? And they don't have to do it right now. They have enough skill and enough talent to get to the playoffs, but the way the game is switched in the playoffs where it's rough, you look at the Capitals, you know, the Boston Bruins, it's I don't know if they can survive four rounds in the playoffs with no kind of attitude. It's not, like I said, it's not about fighting. It's not about being stupid. It's about just having some bite.
And I believe, like, just reading around Babcock's comments, he sees that too.
Yeah, like and a guy like that Cronwall, like just somebody that's got, yep, somebody that puts their helmet on, they turn into a dick. And it's just the way they play.
Now, Cronwall's an interesting guy you bring up. If Detroit slides out of the playoffs, would Cronwall be a guy Toronto would bring in to play in their, like, say, on their third pair?
Mm. Don't you think the relationship with him and Babs would be a factor in that?
Well, if he does want to win one more time.
Mm-hmm.
The only, you know, I mean, they, you know, I mean,
do they have a poor relationship, Babcock and Cronwall?
No, but I'm just saying, whatever it is, it might be a factor.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're going out for beers, but I from what I understand, Cronwall really liked playing for Babcock. And I think Cronwall's a really good example of a guy you could get. You're not looking for him to play 23 minutes a night, but he gives an attitude to your team. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about. They could use a winger like that, too.
Yes.
So, Ray, do you think that they need to go get someone, or does that person already exist on the team?
It doesn't exist.
Not
on this roster. I don't see it anyway. I see Hyman like that. I see Kadri like that. And that's about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the question is how Kyle Dubas feels about it. I mean, ultimately, that's what really matters. We can yell and scream, and even Babcock can make his comments. But I said in the earlier hour, Ray, Dubas doesn't have to listen to Babcock, but this is where I wonder about Brendan Shanahan's role in this organization and how he would feel about a scenario like this. And, you know, he always gives off the vibe like, no, I'm just in the background. I'm here for support. That's what he always tells us. But I'm not convinced of that, and I would think if he's looking at it and thinking, hey, Kyle, we got to do something here, that's someone Kyle might want to listen to.
Well, here's, yeah, for sure. But like you say, you know, ultimately Dubas just had, you know, he's the guy that matters, but nothing about Dubas tells me he's a lone wolf, that he's just going to try, you know, this is my team and I'm going to do it my way. And I don't believe for a second he's like that. If the management team thinks they're fine the way they are, then maybe they don't go at anybody. I think they're not balanced enough to bring it up Washington last year. Washington at the end of the day, I think they shut out Tampa back-to-back games to get into the finals. Tampa's a hell of a good team. But I don't think you can have too much of one thing and not enough of another. I don't think they're as balanced as they maybe would like to be towards, as they get towards the playoffs. There's no rush to do it, but they've got a bunch of guys that look about the same. And if you're, you know, if you're Tyler Ennis or you're Par Lindholm, like, are those players irreplaceable by somebody with more bite? I don't think so. If you're Connor Brown, he's got 3 goals. I know he's been playing in different roles, but he had 20 and 14 goals the last 2 years. He's got 3 right now.
Ray, Zach Hyman tried to play with a little extra sandpaper against Boston, got gritty, tried to defend his teammates, and now he's going to be sitting for the game against Carolina and, more importantly, for the game against Tampa on Thursday. Do you think that the 2-game suspension was fair?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it didn't look like anything other than a suspendable hit to me. As soon as the puck was gone, he hit him from the side, he hit him into the boards. Whether it was 1 or 2, I didn't think they would suspend a guy for 1 game for that hit. So I wrote down, and I thought there were a couple of hits this weekend that were going to be suspendable for sure. Hyman's was one. I don't know how Pierre-Edward Belmar didn't get suspended for hitting Kyle Clifford in the head in L.A. on the weekend. Clifford's out with a concussion now. He hit him from the side. The only contact he made was with his head. I don't get it.
It was blatant.
Anyway.
Yeah, blatant.
Yeah. Like, did that not look like a gimme suspension?
I remember I wasn't watching the game live. Someone posted it on Twitter and with, like, the caption, okay, we'll see you in a couple of games.
Is that the one where he's kneeling down or what? No?
I don't remember the details of it.
No,
but
Clifford's got the puck at center ice, and Belmar comes from his right. And, you know, he goes to hit him. Clifford's dumping the puck in, and he hits him right in the head. And I'm like, well, that... I looked at that, and I went, oh, that's a suspension for sure.
Well, Ray, my example is Ryan Reeves. Like, he had an interference penalty on Tom Wilson. I know Tom Wilson's the most hated guy in hockey, but if that's not a suspension, it's a late hit. Zach Hyman, same thing, late hit. So why is he suspended, but Ryan Reeves gets nothing?
Well, I think, if I remember their explanation, is that he got all body before... And the head contact was when Wilson hit the ice.
Where was the head contact on McAvoy?
They didn't mention it in the video.
No. The difference for me would be proximity to the boards. Like, the danger of the hit is that he hit him from the side, or however you say it, and he went flying into the boards. That, you know, the
that McAvoy did
area around Mac on the yeah. McAvoy hit. Reeves was out in the middle of the ice, so I don't know. Maybe they view that as less dangerous.
That's a joke.
Yeah, see, I didn't like the hit. I think 5 in a game was absolutely the right call, and he should have been kicked out. And if they gave him an extra game, I would be okay. But I take issue with the inconsistency from the league. I mean, this is a real problem. It feels like they're just kind of winging it, and they're picking a number out of a hat, and that's what you get.
Pedersen hit in Florida, and then Morrissey did the same hit in Winnipeg. And
it's like, takedown?
Yeah,
and there's takedown?
You know, every hit is slightly different, so I guess it leaves them some sort of an opportunity
yeah,
for an
Brian,
explanation.
The crazy part, the example O just brought up, Morrissey is already on the books as a repeat offender, and he got less games than Matheson, who
is like Hyman,
never been
and no history.
Right, so the one thing two things I wish were different with player safety. One is I wish they suspended more, not less, because I think that's the only chance to change any personal behavior of the players. If that's what they're trying to do, the only way you can do it is suspend more, not less. And two is you should be able to draw somewhat of a line between each suspension and kind of understand which way it's going. If it's interference without the puck, it's generally in that 2 to 4 games, unless it's something egregious. If it's a hit from behind, it's because it's more dangerous, maybe that's 3 to 5 games. Like, you should have some clue, but I never have one. I never have one.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, William Nylander's now played in a couple of games. I think he was going to be granted a grace period. Whether you think he deserved it or not, I mean, he's human. I know we all wanted him here in camp and all that, but don't you think, like, it's over now?
What's your number? Like, don't you give him 10 games?
Oh, I 10? Don't. No, I'm now. Like, let's get going. I'm not saying you got to score a hat trick tomorrow night, but, you know, you negotiated. That's fine. That happens, but you're a pro and you're getting paid. Last week you did your practices, so you got your games in.
No, he didn't practice.
They practiced on Friday.
That's one.
Okay. So when does it get to a point where this guy's treated like every other athlete?
Over 2 weeks. He's got to practice. He's now practiced, what, twice?
So at the end of this week then, like through next weekend, a week today, we can start looking at him as being a guy that we expect more from? Would be fair? Is that what you're saying,
right? Okay, so let's say a guy plays 4 exhibition games, right? With the games that we all hate, but the 4 exhibition games. In the meantime, he practices 10 to 15 times around training camp, and then the season starts. Nylander's practiced twice now and played 2 games. And so to have different set of standards to me is a little silly. Brian, you really sounded like a fanboy right there, by the way.
No, what I'm saying, listen, I'm saying I gave him the grace period. I think I've been more than lenient. Okay.
What it probably means is that the silly season and the preseason that we all can't stand watching these exhibition games.
Send him down to the minors
more than we think.
Like if he then send him to the Marlies.
Yeah, you're going to send a $6 million player to the American League.
Oh, so now the money counts. So if we're talking money, then go earn your money. Like if the money's going to come up, then earn your money.
Brian, this is not like hosting a radio show. It's much more difficult to play a professional sport.
Okay, so what do you expect out of him?
A moving bus. Like we can put a guy in your chair and they'll get through. They'll screw up the brakes, but they'll get through.
Mm-hmm. Same with you in between the benches. Same thing.
Correct.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but see, there's the difference, Brian, is that I don't have an inflated sense of self.
Right. Oh, really?
I played, and I understand a little bit more, maybe, than some other people. I understand if I took 8 months off and I went to play, it would be more than 2 practices and 2 games.
Okay, Ray, then when?
I would be anywhere near. I already told you, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay, so in 2 weeks, he's got
to
start playing.
5 to 7 practices, he's going to play 3 to 4 games.
Okay.
Then you're probably going to get a player that's ready to start the season.
All right,
but he's not even close.
No, listen, I said that. Like, I said, as of tomorrow night, I'm not saying he needs to fill the net. He doesn't have to be the best player on the ice. But I don't think it's outrageous to be like, okay, let's, you know, contribute. Like,
didn't
I don't think that's...
he was better in game 2 than game 1? I did.
Yeah, I thought he was okay. I mean, I thought the whole team was bad. So I don't know if anyone necessarily stood out. But...
No, I didn't say not standing out. I think he's better in game 2 than he was in game 1. I suspect that by the Tampa game, he'll be better again. You know, that's 2 more games. Then you're going to get... he had a practice yesterday. He's going to get a practice tomorrow. And it matters. For the most part, once the season starts, practices, I don't know, you just get through it and you're...
Well, they never happen. They rarely ever happen. You know, you never get to practice anymore.
Well, whether he's in shape or not, he's not.
No, and I would say the same thing with Matthews. I mean, I think that showed up on Saturday. We were waiting for that coming off the injury. He was running on adrenaline and he scored goals when he came back. But, you know, the last couple of games, he doesn't look like himself. But... you know, we still have expectations out of him.
Yeah, the difference is he's thrown one in the net each game he plays.
Well, Saturday's a perfect example.
Yeah, if Nylander would have scored Saturday, if Nylander would have got the 4th goal to make it 6-4 in a game that was long gone, would people be more happy?
I wouldn't.
Would they say no? It's got to be about him getting some legs under him, and unfortunately, there's no way to shortcut it. Whatever the hell he was doing in Sweden, it's never going to be the same as it was here.
But why not send him to the Marlies then to play a couple games instead of him taking a spot on the roster up with the big team?
Because, okay, so let's take him off. Then you can play Freddy the Goat more. That doesn't seem like a very good idea. And you send him to the American League. What if some 20-year-old tough kid decides, you know what, I'd like to take a run at him just because. Now, I don't know if it happens as much as it used to, but it used to happen in the American League. The American League is a little bit wilder animal than a little less in control than the NHL, for sure.
It just does seem like a shame if you're saying that he needs to play himself into game shape here over the next 2 or 3 weeks of the regular season, that it's putting the whole team at a disadvantage when those guys have been there the whole time. You know, everyone else showed up to training camp and was able to get their contracts figured out, and now he's coming in and doing training camp during the regular season.
They shouldn't have signed him. They should have just let him sit at home and bring him in next September then. I mean, this is the way the business works. The business and the game intersects. And it's not smooth. It's not pretty. This is a byproduct of it. Lots of guys sign their contracts because they don't have any other options or they don't have the stones that Nylander showed. And he pushed himself into a place where he gets $17 million by next July. So it was worth it for him. Now, there's going to be a time when there is no grace period. But in my books, it's not now. Like, that's unfortunate for, he's only 3 goals behind Connor Brown.
Well, we all know what type of player he is. I mean, no one's suggesting that.
No, but I mean, he's not jeopardizing the team. He's not hurting the roster.
He's
more effective than anyone else at this point, the last couple of games. They played 2 stinkers. And if he plays good tomorrow, and maybe he will, and maybe he'll get a couple of chances with Kadri, and all of a sudden, you know, you go, oh, well, there's another building block. He was better in Game 2 than Game 1. He's better in Carolina than he was in Boston. Oh, and then it's Tampa. Well, we'll see if he can keep up to the pace of that, if he's in good enough shape to do that. And if he does, you go, oh, there's another step. I don't think it's going to take very long, but I do go back to Babcock's quotes right when he signed, and he's like, you know, it's going to take him a couple of weeks to get up to speed. It's his quotes.
Well, but then he said he should be the freshest player in the league. So he said one thing, and then he said the next.
That was a condescending comment. It was to kind of making fun, saying hasn't been here. So it's the joke we all say in the locker room. Oh, you better be fresh. You should be fresh. Whatever.
Yeah, that was kind of a kick in the shins a bit, I think. I agree. Like, I don't know. Look, they played 2 crappy games. They're you know, miles in front of most teams in the league at this point, and they've got to get themselves back on track. Carolina's going to skate like hell tomorrow. They've just been out west. Carolina will get 35 shots like they always do. It's whether they are able to score or not. And for Toronto, it's like, if they work hard enough in the middle of the ice, they'll control the game. And if they don't, then they're going to be in a track meet.
Which I think, honestly, they're fine with. They'd prefer that over, you know, a brawl like we saw on Saturday night. I mean, that's what comes out of this, is when it's a free-flowing, high-scoring game, this team is as good or better than everyone else in the league. You know, but there's going to be different challenges. There are going to be different styles of game. We talked about it last week. Everyone throws this out. Well, that's not how the game is played anymore, until that's how the game is played. Like, we saw it on Saturday.
Did you watch the Calgary game? Did you watch Calgary last night at Edmonton?
Yeah.
Like, that was not easy hockey.
No, it was death. But Edmonton's getting results. You know, like, there's another example where... I didn't like, you know, the hiring. I know who Hitch is, and I know what he's all about. I didn't like it because I knew what it was going to represent. But it's McDavid scores, and then just pray
Park
like how you can shut
Park
it down.
The boss, boys.
It's literally what happened last night.
I wish Mulls was here so we had that clip with the angry Paul Bearer saying, "This is my..." What is the guy's name?
Paul Bearer.
Paul Bearer.
The true Undertaker!
This was the pregame speech.
Just before Lucic hit Hamonic last night, he was yelling this.
I'll tell you what, that hit was just right on the dot as far as timing.
Oh, how much? that makes me feel good. I'm so long retired.
I know, but as far as timing, Ray, one more little kind of half second, he's in trouble.
Jeez, did he hit him, though. Holy smokes. Which one did you like better? Did you like that one or the Cronwall hit on Lee?
That Cronwall hit on Lee. Oh.
See, there still is a place for that. But you're right. In saying that, he was probably a half a stride away from, you know, going in the books. That was a big hit.
Well, no, but
kind of like, remember that Bufflin on Stone, which I don't know how Stone got up. It was just...
That's maybe the biggest hit in the last decade.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even think of anything.
Which one was that? I don't even remember that.
Just Google it. Dustin Bufflin on Mark Stone. You would think that Mark Stone would never, ever play another shift in the NHL after that. It was horrific.
He ran a 50-yard or a 100-yard dash in a 50-yard gym.
Yeah. Horrible.
He ran. Oh, just watching it. Like, when you pull it up, it'll make you stand up. You're like, oh, man.
All right, I'll find it.
You find it. You got a break now.
Yeah, I will. Well, so do you. What do you do with the rest of your time? You're taking shots at me. I mean, what are you doing
with
your life?
Hang on a sec, Ray. What do you think of Brian? I mean, do you think he's kind of rounding into form? I mean, has he had the right amount of time?
I think another couple of weeks. Another month.
Tell you what, next time you call me fanboy on the air, though, I won't respond the same way. I guarantee you that.
Are you coming over the turnbuckle?
I might have to. Don't challenge me.
Do the NHL thing, Ray. Call him fanboy and then get off the phone.
All right. We'll do it tomorrow. See ya. There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst.
You didn't like that, fanboy?
Well, then he comes with, I played in the league.
Sense of self?
Give me a break with that garbage.
I thought there was going to be something was going to go down here.
I let him go, but that I should have hung up on him. Next time I will.
That was an incredible sense of show of restraint, I thought, on your part.
Are you pulling the... Who's the Everett guy and the host of the...
Jim Rome.
Oh, Jim Rome. You call me Chrissy one more time?
If you call me Chris one more time.
Yes.
Was it Chrissy or
Chrissy. You call me Chrissy.
He called Jim
Everett. We got to get the audio of that. You call me Chrissy one more time.
Although some people think that that was like a manufactured kind of setup thing.
You don't do
like,
that.
He literally came over the turnbuckle. Anyway, Ray joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline is the 2019 Toyota Corolla, the safest vehicle on the road. See for yourself during Maple Toyota's Corolla-thon and get rates from 0% MapleToyota.com. All right, Jabari Greer will be in studio at 6. Big Monday nighter tonight, Seattle Mini. So we'll get to that. And Pooley's going to be in studio at 6:20. Raptors coming off another loss last night out west. We'll touch on this roadie. When are we going to see Kawhi in L.A. versus the Clips in Golden State? Against the Warriors.
What is the situation? The back-to-back?
Clippers on Tuesday, Golden State on Wednesday.
Well, he better play both.
I'd like to see him in Golden State, but we'll see. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Overdrive has a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs-Panthers, December 20th. And every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, call in with the name of that Leaf, and you will go to see the game Leafs taking on the Panthers December 20th. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf was a first-round draft pick between the years 2000 and 2010.
Wow.
Good start.
Really narrow
you
that
really
down.
Put your head together back there.
Good start. I got to say, today has had a very nostalgic feel to it. Like, that's the most heated conversation we've had with Ray in a long time.
Well, he called you fanboy, and that pissed you off.
And he said that you had an inflated sense of self.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily happy, but he and I, we've gone at it many times over the years.
Every day.
No, not every single day. There are a lot of days we don't, but there have been a lot of yelling matches on the show between he and I, and a lot of it's respectful stuff, and...
But just not today.
Today got a little bit carried away. But what I'm saying is that the nostalgia is the Leafs, because they've lost a couple games in a row, like it feels like it's 2014.
Everyone's getting grouchy. Yeah,
everybody's
getting
grouchy. Like, we have spent all afternoon, and I'm looking myself in the mirror here, yelling and screaming about the Leafs, and they're still like a top five team in the league, and they're going to continue to be.
And the Raptors. You've been yelling and screaming about Kyle Lowry. What's wrong with Kyle Lowry? Why is he not making any baskets? Why is he playing differently now? What's going on with this team? And It's like the good old days.
That's
and
right.
But you are antiquing in your free time, Jeff, which is also bringing some nostalgia.
I think I need some antiquing.
Maybe you do.
I need to relax.
It gets you. It gets your mind away from things. It's old school. Antiquing soothes the soul.
Right. I need you as like my muse. Think that would work out?
Muse?
An antiquing muse.
Or maybe your guru.
My guru.
Guru. Guru Oda.
I'm telling you.
Take me under your wing. I need it.
But it's supposed to be like fluffy stuff. We always talked about sports radio when teams are winning.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be arguing. We shouldn't be losing our minds. We're talking about two of the top teams in both leagues.
The Leafs are literally second overall in the league. The Raptors are literally first overall in the league.
Yeah. And you're losing
and
your
all
mind.
I'm losing my mind. Yeah. We're just, everyone's spinning out of control here. Now, that's not to suggest that there aren't, you know, flaws with both teams. There are. You know, the Raptors.
We pointed a few of them out, I think.
We pointed a lot of them out. But, I mean, when you really break it down, we're in a pretty good spot.
Could be worse.
We could be talking about the Jays leading into the winter meetings and how.
Are they at the winter meetings? Because I never seem to hear any news about the Toronto Blue Jays doing anything.
Technically, I believe they are represented at the winter meetings. But the expectation is that they're not going to do anything, which we've been bracing for a while. We knew that. They're not going to splash money
Why would they?
Around.
They're right on the cusp of a championship, I think, with the roster they have.
That's right. A triple A championship.
One more kick at the can. This is the year.
Yeah. We keep hearing about this this minor league system and all the talent that's coming up. But they're just not. They're not going to surround it with big league players, you know, for the most part. They're not going to spend the money. They're not going to do it. And they've been telling us that for a while.
So Bryce Harper's not coming to Toronto? Is that what you're trying
to
say?
No, he's not. And where he ends up, you know, that's the story of the week, what's going to happen with Bryce. And you keep hearing Philly. The White Sox are connected to him. There's been a couple of other teams that, you know, maybe the Cubs would sneak in, maybe.
The White Sox?
The White Sox are looking to make
so they
some
just
money
said,
or splash
about
some
the
money.
Rebuild.
Well, I think they've been through it now, or they feel pretty good about getting through it. Like they bottomed out, they've done their thing, and you got to remember Harper's 26. You know, this isn't a cherry on top for the next year or two. Mm-hmm. This guy's going to be a very good player for a long time.
You hear the money he's looking for?
$350 million.
350 melons. Turn down 300 melons from.
I don't
Washington.
Want a guy in my team that turns down 300 million. I mean, honestly,
it scares me, but it's Boris. You know, Scott Boras is the most powerful agent, maybe in pro sports, certainly in baseball. And we had Jason Stark on Friday, and I asked him that, though. I'm like, if, let's say Harper wants to stay in Washington, and they said, we can give you $300 million mm-hmm. over 10 years. That is obviously, you know, generational wealth
right.
that is going to go way down the family tree. And he gets to stay where he wants to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And Boras just said no. Like, why Harper?
Did you hear what he said, though? Yeah, his actual, I think, line was, or I read this, was that they just couldn't, in good conscience, leave that much money on the table. Because they know they can get.
There's going to be more out there.
There's more out there. So we just can't leave that much money on the
right.
table, which is just such a disgusting
it's
concept.
Gross. It is really gross. And the idea that you, exactly, you're chasing the money as opposed to the scenario. Which you're entitled to if you're a free agent. And I understand, you know, Stark made a good case. They offered to him right before he finally gets to free agency, like Stamkos, like Tavares, mm-hmm. and, you know, like other athletes in other sports. Once you get the opportunity to talk with other teams, you're going to take advantage of that.
I'd have more respect if he said, I'm going to the Red Sox for $1 million, like a Boogie Cousins.
Or stay in Washington. Like, they drafted you, they developed you, they will spend money.
They had
you know,
a
they
rough
go out
season,
there,
though.
They had a very
season.
Rough season. Yeah. But, you know, I think they've got some talent. So it's not like they haven't put him in a position to succeed in Washington. I think they've treated
like
him pretty
baseball
well.
Baseball players, though, I know we use this word loyalty, and, you know, who's really loyal in pro sports? But I feel like baseball players are the least loyal when it comes to sticking with teams. Hockey players like to stick with their teams.
In the NBA.
NBA,
not,
yeah.
Not
they kind of willy-willy around too, don't they?
They don't have the greatest history. They will leave. Or at least, you know what they do in the NBA?
They create super teams.
Oh, and it just hangs over you. Like, that's another thing about what's going on with the Raptors right now. They're in first overall, yet you can't escape the Kawhi conundrum.
No,
right.
If you think
you
that
know?
He's,
yeah.
like, dialed into the Raps now and he loves it here, he's got super team aspirations with the Clippers. I don't know what or who or where.
Well, I keep reading about the weather. He's from San Diego, and he grew up playing in San Antonio, and it's relatively warm. It's probably you know, 16, 17 in the winter, I would think. You know, it's like a decent...
I don't know.
But if that's the problem, then it was never going to work.
The weather? Seriously?
I hear you. I understand that. But if that was the issue, then it was never going to work.
Weather's a factor for me. If I could be... Like, I lived in South Florida for 2 years, and it's like you go outside, and everything's green and sunny and
bright. I get
that.
When you're going to the rink, it's sunny, and you have to put your coat on to go to the rink. But how many weekends are you actually spending in that cold city? Like, how many weekends is Kawhi Leonard here with his partner and their little girl rolling around Forest Hill, like going, man, it's pretty snowy out here. I wish it was sunny, like
Hedge,
it would be in LA.
Would you like to go home after practice and take a swim outside in the beautiful weather? And
absolutely.
It's a lifestyle.
Indoor pool, man. I'm sure Kawhi can get an indoor pool if he's a big swim guy.
Hook that up. If you're
I don't know. I just, this whole weather thing.
Can go there.
The weather sucks in Cleveland, and LeBron didn't seem to have a problem there. The winter sucks in Minnesota and Chicago. MJ didn't have a problem playing
exactly.
in Chicago.
Larry Bird was in Boston.
Yeah, but
Boston,
it doesn't matter about that. It's about what he wants
right.
and what he likes.
I understand that. And it's his decision. And guess what? When he becomes a free agent, someone in these warm climates is going to offer him a max deal.
Right.
The Clippers are going to do it. Probably the Lakers will do it. Miami will do it. They're all going to do it. So it's
Who
going to be on the table.
Who else is going to go to the Clip though to become this super team? Like, he's going to need
George?
Some help down there.
No, George is locked in now. Like, Jimmy Butler's available. Kyrie Irving told people in Boston that he's coming back. But
George locked himself in with OKC.
Yeah, he locked himself in. He's not going anywhere. I think he signed a max deal, so he's locked in. But
going to LA and just all of a sudden. Producing a super team down there is a nice idea, but I just don't know how that's actually going to happen.
Well, Anthony Davis is a guy who appears to be on his way out of New Orleans
Kevin
at some
Durant?
Point.
He's
Kevin Durant
options.
Is a guy, you know, it depends on where he wants to go. But that's the thing about the NBA, and what I kind of like about the drama surrounding the Raptors with, like, this trade, Lowry's relationship with Masai. You're not actually a real club unless you have drama.
Drama, yeah.
Unless you're a constant soap opera. Like, everywhere LeBron goes, it's a soap opera. The Golden State Warriors, soap opera. Now that the Raptors have some sort of that element, kind of feels like they've finally arrived in a weird way.
The weird thing, though, is that Kawhi is the new element, but he's actually been the least drama. We thought he was going to be nothing but drama because of what happened last year, and the guy just shuts up and plays good basketball. The drama has been revolving around Kyle Lowry and Masai Ujiri and the wins and the losses, and then when you hear KD talking about LeBron saying that guy's toxic and who would want to play with a guy like that, well, I could tell you KD would want to play with a guy like Kawhi Leonard, because
Absolutely.
Kawhi wouldn't say, you know what, if his mouth was full of it.
Mm-hmm. Go out there and he just performs.
There's been
he works.
Theory about those comments. What was it? How was that explained to us? That he's trying to muddy the water around LeBron.
Kevin Durant is.
So Kevin Durant, when he forms his own super team, it's like, you don't want to go around there because it's toxic.
Oh, he's trying to get people off
the
LeBron scent?
That was the theory that was explained to us.
Randy. That seems kind of like a real roundabout psychological warfare.
I like that theory, though, man. I doubt it's that deep. I really doubt it.
These guys aren't that deep.
I don't know if they really are, but if it is, I mean, I'll give credit to Kevin Durant. He's getting creative. Jabari Greer, our NFL analyst, will be in studio at 6. Dave Poulin going to be in here at 6:20. All right, Jabari Greer will be in studio at 6. Get his take on what was going on in Miami yesterday afternoon.
Welcome to Miami.
The Miami Miracle. Excuse me.
That's my team. They don't do that garbage that often, man.
New England?
Oh, come on.
They'll be fine. They're still going to win the division. But, you know, they're not going to catch Kansas City now. The Chiefs are rolling. They're going to have home field. I would guess the AFC is going to go through them. Pittsburgh, though, all of a sudden that is up for grabs. Baltimore is starting to hum, although Kansas City obviously did them a big favor yesterday.
I love that Pittsburgh game. It was like, Big Ben's hurt. It's like, Big Ben, do you want to try to win the game? Nah, okay, I'll go out there. Just like, okay, what was it, ribs or concussion? Or
he's got everything.
Oh, I know.
You see him after games, he is honestly, he's just a mummy. Like, they wrap his whole body. You see him after practice, he's just constantly
He's always
beat
had
up
one of those bodies, though, where he's one of those guys where it's like, yeah, he's a great athlete, but he doesn't look like he would be a great athlete.
Not even, he's had a double chin his whole career.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't look like he's cut.
He's a moose.
He's a
gigantic.
Monster. But, you know, like, I guess that position is interesting in terms of cardio. Like, if you're a linebacker or a wideout, or even, you know, the linemen are fighting for position all the time. Quarterbacks, I don't know. Do you have to be in perfect shape? Obviously not.
Obviously not. But then you look at some of the guys that have been, you know, like look at Tom Brady.
Brady's a perfect example. You know, I think Rodgers is in great shape.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's in great shape.
More of them are in great shape than not. But it's kind of like golfers, I guess. You get the odd golfer that you're like, man, that guy looks like he could run
Packers,
around the block.
They're in tough shape.
Well, how about Joe Philbin?
To sewer each other and
Philbin yesterday wasted both challenges 1 minute and 23 seconds into the game. Now, they ended up winning the game and actually covered the number. Not that that necessarily matters, but Joe Philbin.
What, didn't somebody get fired the week prior for calling out Aaron Rodgers and saying he's actually a major problem here and nobody wants to admit it?
Yeah, it was like an assistant coach. Yeah. He tweeted something out and then like an hour later he went back on Twitter and was like,
he's been
I've been fired. It was actually pretty hilarious. Here, I got it right here. Winston Moss. So he tweets out, ponder this, what championship teams have are great leadership, period. It's not the offensive guru trend. It's not the safe trend. Find somebody that is going to hold number 12 and everybody in this building Lombardi or to the Lombardi standard, period. Hashtag losing sucks. An hour later, I'm out. I just got the call.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, I've been
fired.
So he
was calling out Aaron Rodgers' leadership?
I guess so, and kind of suggesting that maybe the team made McCarthy the scapegoat, and someone's got to keep Aaron Rodgers accountable. And how'd that work out for you, Winston Moss? Hashtag losing sucks. Hashtag losing my job sucks even more. I'm out. Jabari Greer and Dave Pullen in the next hour.